morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. Glad to have you in the house of the Lord to worship with us. First of all, are there any visitors with us today? If you don't like to stand up and introduce yourself, please fill out a card in the pew and put it in the basket, and we'd love to say hello. The registration booklets have not been passed out. Need a volunteer, and please indicate today that you are in the second service. Today are in your bulletin. However, if there's any that we feel need to be made today, if anybody would like to make an announcement, please hold up your hand.
Second round, which is much heavier.
Also, if you would, keep Charlie Thomas in your prayers.
We do have a guest. Mr. Bill Middleton represents the Gideons, and he will be speaking this morning. At the normal time where we have the prayer confession, and then he will be telling you about the work of the Gideons, and then be at the rear of the church to receive any gifts that you have to offer to the Gideons at the end of the service. Nellie Williams is Mary Beth's aunt, and Mary Beth Rowland's aunt, and she passed away and will be at Hickory Chapel. If you notice Nellie Williams in the newspaper, we don't know any details, but Mary Beth called this morning to ask us to lift up the family of Nellie Williams.
Yes.
Not be long, because I know the children are waiting to light the candles. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for prayer, and I want you to know that God is still creating, He's still recreating, He listens, and He answers prayers. Yesterday, I saw two of my friends at the Nashville Flea Market who are vendors there from Missouri, Williams and his wife Denise. Joe has cancer. He's been cancer-free now for 2 years. Denise has hepatitis, and she's doing much, much better. I hadn't seen them in about 2 years, but it was so good and so refreshing to know that God still answers prayers. Also, last night, Mary Jo and I were out doing some shopping and walked out of a store in Murfreesboro, and a voice said hello behind us, and it was my friend Peggy Harrell. And Peggy and her husband Bill, who's been my lifetime friend, have been on our prayer list because of losing a lot of their life savings to an investor whom you've probably read about in the paper. But they're doing better. She said Bill was cranky. He was getting out of bed every day. He's going to his workplace, which is his own boss. And he's doing much better. So I wanted to say thank you for your prayers, and don't stop praying for all those people. And then I want to tell you this. We're coming into a precious time of the year, a precious season of the year. And sometimes we get in that ho-hum atmosphere saying, oh, I've got to shop. Oh, I've got to do this. And it gets hectic. And we say, oh, no, not again. Well, I'm going to issue this challenge to you. And I shared this with our Sunday school class this morning. Look for that one person, that one family, that event that might just jump out at you out of the clear blue in all this hectic time of the year that will help you recognize that Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. And He comes to, and you hear all these things in your church life about He'll come to you by knocking on the door, or I'm hungry, or give me clothes, or just listen to what I have to say. I still believe that happens, and it not only happens at this time of the year, but every day of our lives. So I issue this challenge to you. Listen and look. God will send that someone, that family, that event in your life, and you'll know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And He came not just at this season we celebrate, but He comes to you every day of your life.
Jesus helps us. Not doing well at all.
Thank you. Also, I'd like to mention that Nancy son is still in the hospital Thursday for surgery, I believe around 1:30. Please keep her in your prayers. Is there anything else that we need to mention this day? Okay, if you would please bow your heads for this time of silent prayer. Recognize that the Holy Spirit is here with us. Give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, join me in prayer, please. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come as frail children made from the dust. Lord, you picked up that dust and you shaped it and you blessed it and you breathed into it. And thank you, Lord, that you call your people, people of dust, to worship you and praise you. And Lord, we come this morning to do just that. We want to honor you and we want to glorify you. We see you as King. Help us to know you as King of our life. Lord, speak to us in every aspect of this service today. But Lord, let us glorify you as we respond. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus, not only to be our Savior, but to be our Savior and King. And Lord, help us to serve Him. And we offer this prayer in His name, now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express what we believe in words through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Can't be here. You must leave now. That's what I was told when I was standing outside of a library in Hong Kong at the University of Hong Kong. Five security guards were standing around me. I don't know why me, because there were other Gideons out there doing the same thing I was doing, and that was giving out God's Word. In fact, this is a copy of what we were giving that day. This is in Chinese, and it is also in English, so it's bilingual. And we were so happy to give this out because there's so many people around Hong Kong, that area, that spoke English as well as Chinese. Many of the young people that we were distributing to that day would come up and they were from mainland China. And they would say, "This is the Bible?" We'd say, "Yes." And they would say, "This is what we've heard about," or make some comment. And we would give it to them free. What was interesting to me, a challenge to me, you might say, is that in the back is a page of decision. That's where it says, God loves you, and all are sinners. But God has a remedy for sin, and that is Jesus Christ. And then the little prayer that we put in here, it's not the only prayer, but it's a prayer that says, confessing my sins, I now receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And so I would just kind of guess at that because that was not bilingual, but I knew it by heart, and we began to share that to these students. Well, those security guards chased us right off the campus. But what was nice is as they were ushering us off that campus, they said, now there's only three ways to get in and out of this campus. One is over there, one is over there, and one is over here. We'll take you to each one of those locations. So actually, we were in a better location than we were before because now we had the opportunity to give it a testament to every student and every car that passed by on and off of this campus that day. It was really a unique experience to be treated that way because it was such a blessing, as we also gave each one of those security guards a copy of God's Word and a little explanation of what's in it. Well, later on that afternoon, I was at a particular place, and I was offering God's Word to these students. They were coming and going, and all of a sudden, this little beautiful, beautiful little Chinese lady came up to me. Chinese young lady came up, and I offered her a testament. And she gladly accepted it, and she had a curious look on her face. And so I said, you know what that is? And that opened up a discussion. After a while, I found out that this young lady's name was Sarah Fong. She was a second-year law student at Hong Kong University, and she was very open to hear what I had to say. And as I shared with her, not too long after that, we went to the page of salvation. And she prayed right there with me that day, and she accepted Jesus Christ into her heart. And as I stood there and I shared with her, I knew it was real because I could see her countenance just totally change right in my presence. And many of you have prayed with someone who received Christ, and you can just see that born-again experience taking place right before you. A divine appointment, a time in all of eternity where it meant this young person was coming into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, we talked a little bit, and then she had to go to class. She went on. I said, Lord, what are we going to do with this young lady? How is she going to grow? Where is she going to go from here? Well, that's kind of the prayer of faith. And then I kept giving out God's Word and sharing with other students. And soon another student came by. I had a big old grin on his face. And I said, well, what are you doing? And one thing, now he said, I'm a Christian. He says, and I'd be glad to take that. I'll give it to somebody else to share with somebody else because I have my own Bible. Well, we talked a little bit later. And I said, hey, is there a Bible study on campus somewhere? Maybe this young lady could get involved. He said, oh, yeah. Campus Crusade for Christ has a Bible study on Monday nights at 6:30. And if you see her again, tell her to come to that. I said, I'll sure do that. I said, by the way, what are you doing here? He said, I'm attending law school. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, I'm in my second year of law school. I said, well, that's funny. I said, do you know a girl named Sarah Fong? And he said, yeah, she's a classmate of mine in school. I said, well, Sarah just prayed to receive Christ, and she could sure use a little bit of encouragement. Why don't you invite her to a Bible study? He says, I'll be glad to do that. I'll look her up. The next day, I'm at a different location, and Sarah Fong is out on the campus, and she's looking around, and she runs into a Gideon, and she says, no, I already have a testament. I don't need another one. She says, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I prayed to become a Christian. Where's Bill? I want to see Bill. And this Gideon said, well, he's in another part of, around the campus here. But he says, I'll be sure and tell him that you came by. So there was God's follow-up, God's miracle, all of his working. And God works in darkness. And God was bringing light to Hong Kong University because Gideons were out doing our work that God had called us to do. Well, let me tell you that Gideons are Christian business and professional men who are born again, who love the Lord, and are called to this ministry very much the way pastors are called or you're called to other ministries, musical ministry or teaching ministry or whatever it might be. Well, I want you to know that our big task, our big calling, is number one, to witness, which all of us are called to witness. But then we're also called to go out and place God's Word in the various traffic lanes of the world. And many of you have even told me just this morning how you've received a scripture and how it's been such a blessing to your heart. But many of you have seen our Bibles in hotels and motel rooms. You've also gotten a one lady was telling me, I still have my Youth Testament I received in the fifth grade. And today, sometimes the schools won't let us in to give those scriptures out, so we give other testaments on sidewalks. But we're still out there. We're at county fairs offering youth God's precious word. And we were at the county fair this year doing that. So we're all over the world. We're placing scriptures in not only the hotels, but also in nursing homes, in hospitals, healthcare facilities, in day rooms, military day rooms. And you know what? One of the biggest privileges we have is to place a youth testament, a military testament, in the hands of young people who are leaving here, going into the military to support our country and defend our country. So what a blessing that is. You know, there are so many testimonies that we can share with you. God gives us our walking orders, our marching orders, and it's found over in Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So you see, if we will go out as Gideons through the support and the backing and the prayers of the local churches whom we're in partnership with, if we'll go out and place the word in the various traffic lanes of the world, God will richly reward His work, and it will not come back void. The testimonies, the souls, the people that come to know Christ will just be so abundant we can't even count it all. God blesses in such great ways. One way that He blesses is in the lives of people who don't even know that there is a God out there. In fact, there was one young man down in South America. He was fighting, and he was out, and he was out into the trenches of warfare area there in the jungles of South America. And all of a sudden, he felt this sting. He had been shot, and he knew he'd been shot because it knocked him down. Well, he laid there for a minute. He felt like he must be dying, but he reached around and he went towards where he felt like the wound should be, and fell. And there was his Gideon testament that he had gotten in the Colombian military when he joined up. And there it was, and he reached down in his pocket. He pulls out this little testament, and that small testament had a bullet hole right there, and the bullet stopped in the back at Psalms 91. It didn't penetrate all the way through. He pulled it out, and he just rejoiced at God saving his life through the Word of God. He had saved his soul through reading the Word. Now he saved his life through the Word of God. Well, you've probably heard testimonies like that before, where shrapnel caught this trapped in the scriptures and someone's life was saved. But there's so many wonderful testimonies like this, and it's all a result of our partnership with the local church, because all Gideons have to be members of local evangelical churches. In closing, I'd just like to share with you that there's another way other than a free will offering this morning that Pastor had already mentioned, but that is the Living Memorial Bible Plan. And this plan, we have cards in the back outside in the hallway, but it gives Christians the opportunity to give Bibles in memory of deceased loved ones and friends, family members, whatsoever. And you place a donation and then send the card, or we'll send the card for you, to the next of kin or the bereaved person. We also have in recognition portion of this, you might want to say, "Pastor, that was a great sermon the other day, and I just want to place some Bibles in recognition of that particular event." You might want to do it at a graduation or a special anniversary or something like that. It's always appropriate to give scriptures. And then lastly is the thinking of you, someone that you're praying for on this prayer list that I've seen around, circulating around, to tell them, "We're praying for you as a congregation or as an individual. Or I'm just thinking of you. You've just been on my heart lately." So it's always good to place scriptures, and you know that 100% of your donation will be used to purchase and place scriptures. Because you see, Gideons pay our own expenses, and the scripture money is never goes to provide for our means, our well-being, or our expenses. We We thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, congregation. God bless you. Thank you.
Turning your little change in the program here, turning your renew hymnal to hymn 94 is the same one, Thy Word, a little different version. But we're going to sing out of the renew hymnal, hymn 94. And I forgot to mention this to Bill earlier, but one of the families that I stay with in Columbia, he is a Gideon, his name is Jorge Moreira.
Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks.
this morning comes from Luke chapter 16, verse 10a. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.
But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for what? For we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I will tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God.
Let's sing 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
To us than as some people want to use Jesus
as their errand person, to run errands for them, or to jump at their bidding. Jesus does respond to our prayers in so many ways, but some people carry this three or four steps too far and just want Jesus to be their errand person, to run errands for them, or to jump when they say jump. And that's not what Jesus came to be. New Testament talks about Jesus being king. And if he is king, he is certainly not one who would just respond to our every beck and call. Because, friends, we can become pretty demanding sometimes with our beckons and our calling, can we not? But let's think about or consider some of the places in the New Testament that Jesus is referred to as being king. He came before Pilate, Jesus did, or he was brought before Pilate, and Pilate asked him a question, "Are you king of the Jews?" You can find this in four references, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell us about Jesus coming before Pilate, and that Jesus was asked by Pilate, "Are you king of the Jews?" And then above his head, as he suffered on the cross, a sign was placed. Now John says that Pilate did it, or had it done, that he had the inscription, "Jesus, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews," placed over Jesus' head. John chapter 19. In Revelation, there are two references to Jesus being referred to as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Revelation 19:16, we read where John, in his vision, saw Jesus, and on his robe, Jesus' robe, and on his thigh was written, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." At the crucifixion, that's what our lesson is about. The repentant sinner referred to Jesus' kingdom. When you enter into your kingdom. So indicating that he understood Jesus to be head of a kingdom, or it would be Jesus' kingdom, so be the king. We're not sure what he understood, the repentant sinner understood about the kingdom that Jesus was going into, or going to enter into. Was it something heavenly? Did he think of it as that, or did he think of it something on earth, as even Jesus' disciples had thought of it? Or did he think of it as a something that we don't even know what he was thinking? Maybe so. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, they, in mockery, referred to Jesus' kingdom being a king of a kingdom, Mark 15 and Matthew 27. But he was a different kind of a king. One person wrote a sermon about Jesus being king, and one thing that he wrote, he said he was a strange kind of king. When you talk about kings, and he said there was nothing about Jesus that appeared kingly, especially as he stood before Pilate. Before Pilate, he did not speak of his earthly territory or anything like that. He said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." So, a different king than the Israelites were used to, the Romans were used to, and a different king than most of us are used to, unless we've been referring to Jesus as king in our heart, or king of our life, or king of all of creation. This sermon writer also says that through Jesus' kingship, he being a different kind of king, or somewhat strange kind of king to what is normally thought of as a king, says that he redefined kingship. And he points out that kings, and in our day, and in Jesus' day, that kings prided themselves on their status, on their position. They, in many cases, demanded respect. They demanded being honored, and said that all of society's response, the whole of the country, was geared to exalt the king. They used their authority and their power and the might of their army to exact loyalty and obedience. They did not hesitate to, in many cases today, do not hesitate to inflict punishment in order to get their way. But Jesus, he came differently. I'd like to share a portion of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 21 to have help us to see Jesus' qualifications as king. Paul is writing. Paul had come to see Jesus as the very Son of God. And he's speaking first of God. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then he begins to, in verse 14 of Colossians 1, to talk about this beloved Son of God who has delivered us from our darkness, our domain of darkness. He says, in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you to in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And I went ahead and read through verse 22. So, what are Jesus' qualifications to be king? We can go back and read the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Go back and read the angel speaking to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. But you can find also the qualifications in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, trying to inform them about
who Jesus is. Very God of very God. The church fathers. God in the flesh, who was there at creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God in the beginning. And the Word was God. Not only do we find Jesus' qualifications in Paul's writings, but we find Jesus' willingness to be a servant. Though he was rightly king, though he was God in the flesh, we find his willingness to be a servant. But God exalted him. This time is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. In the second chapter, and beginning with verse 5, we have these words concerning Jesus. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, that's what Paul told the Colossians, wasn't it? Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And having humbled himself, therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he came God in the flesh. But he humbled himself to be a servant. Then God exalted him to this high position where people bowed down before him. What kind of king did Jesus come to be? We said he redefined it. He did not demand allegiance. He invited it. He gave people the opportunity to serve him. He did not force himself on anyone. He presented himself to all who would hear. Jesus came as a forgiving God, as a forgiving King. And you find it in verse 34. Kind of unusual for a king. You defy the king, and what happens? Normally, it's the head chopped off in many circles. You defy the king, or you make a mockery of him. And Jesus came redefining kingship. Forgive him. Father, forgive him. Kind of referred to this last week, didn't we? What happens normally? Somebody's hurting. We want to kick back. We want to scream at them at least. We want to hurt them if we can. Jesus hung there on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Forgive the ones who throw the spikes through his flesh. Forgive the ones who hurl the insults at him. Forgive the ones who demanded that he be crucified. And that Barabbas be free. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And he comes to offer wasn't just limited to those at the foot of the cross. welcoming king that Jesus was, and a welcoming king that Jesus still is. Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he says, you've got a space. You've got a spot. You've got a seat. You've got a place in my kingdom. The scriptures record it. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Today you shall be with me in paradise. Another one, forgiving and welcoming, maybe both, is Peter. Peter proclaimed his allegiance to Jesus. But then, when his life was in danger himself, he denied even knowing Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus welcomed, having forgiven Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we don't know much about him being mean to Jesus, but he was mean to other people in collecting too many taxes. That was part of his confession. And Jesus welcomed him, or he invited himself to go to Zacchaeus' house and offered salvation and provided salvation to that house. The sinful woman at Simon's house, Luke chapter 7. Simon was concerned, a different Simon, we think, possibly, concerned that Jesus was with this sinful woman. And Jesus offered forgiveness to her. And you can flip through the Bible and find many, many more similar examples. One might describe Jesus becoming and being our king thusly. A good king, Jesus, rescues us from a bad king, Satan. And we are serving him out of our appreciation for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for us. This kind of king, who would not want to serve? Thank you, Lord. For sending Jesus to forgive us. Thank you, Father, for also sending him to be king. And Lord, there are so many questions in so many people's minds, so many ideas about Jesus' kingship. But thank you that he comes to each of us be king of us. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary, because that's where him provides that forgiveness, that wealth that we desire. In his name, we offer our prayer. Who's trusting Jesus as their king, serving him and honoring him by the life that they're living? Maybe this is a time that you would like to commit your life to Jesus, that he would be your king and you would be his servant. But even he calls his servants his friends. Be a friend of him, but serve him as Savior. as Lord, as King. Let's stand together and sing. I believe it's 175, and we're going to sing.